greater. And we're excited to worship him this evening. And we all get to come in here Wednesdays and get to experience worship with the Lord and just get to enjoy it. And I feel for me, when his presence is in the room, it's like I get the chills. Worship him every Wednesday. We can worship him every day. And we can have an ongoing worship with him. You know, the Holy Spirit is so strong and powerful. There's nothing that we'll ever be able to compare to it. Every day we all go through struggles. And me knowing, because when I got saved, because I remember when I got saved, as soon as I opened up to the Lord every day, there was temptations. But I knew that I had a great God that could get me through anything and every day, any struggle I ever went through. So I just want to sing this song today. It's called Our God is Greater.
Darkness, you shine out of the
struggles with, I want you to get rid of it completely. I want everybody in this room to feel your presence right now, because I know there's people here that haven't felt his presence. I feel that right here in my heart, that there's somebody here that has not felt your presence, and they need that today, because they have been going through something that's been taking control of them completely, and they don't know how to allow you to come in them and let you just take care of them. And what they don't realize is that all they have to do is give it to you. All we have to do is give all of our struggles, our pain, heartache, sicknesses to you. Let you handle it. Because you are the only way, the truth, and the life. We just want to bless your name today and worship you. Because I feel a tug that there's somebody out here that has been going through something that has been eating them and tearing their insides, and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't have a clue. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're going through, it does not matter how big, how small. God can give you anything. Give him everything, because the Lord we serve is never ending, will never end, and it's hard every day, because we all go through temptations, and we always give into those temptations. I didn't know how to live for him every day, read the Bible. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to do any of that. All I knew was, hey, the Lord came into my life. What's the next step? So I got there and I couldn't go any farther. And this past summer when I got saved and I was able to finally understand what it was like to
Standing here, Lord, because you made a way. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for strength. Thank you that I'm able to endure. Thank you that I can run over a wall. Come on. You do miracles. You cause mountains to fall. Amen. That's the reason I'm standing here, Lord. Your strength. Your strength. Hallelujah. You can be seated in his presence tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for leading us, taking a little different transition here into Wednesday nights for a season, for the month of May, the rest of May, and through June. We'll give our normal teachers, ministers, those who are serving in the capacity of teaching, a little bit of a different journey here. Let them rest for a little bit. I figured they could use a rest because I don't think I've taught on a Wednesday night in probably 7 years. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Mike. And thank you, Stacy. Where's Stacy at? There she goes. Thank you for leading our women's group. And ministry still goes on. Amen. On a Wednesday night. And we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. For the next several weeks, the gifts of the Spirit. I love that song. You move mountains, you cause walls to fall. Amen. With your power, with your dunamis, that word is dunamis in the Bible, with your dynamics, spiritual dynamics, you are able to navigate, help me navigate through circumstances that otherwise I could not navigate through myself. Amen. There's nothing, the next part of the song says there's nothing, because of that, there's nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Come on, one more time, give him a hand, would you? Hallelujah. Tonight at the close of our teaching, we will give opportunity for you to receive prayer. I know that there may be some that are struggling with issues or maybe in need of physical touch. So we will give you opportunity to be prayed for, those of you that need that at the end of the night. Thank you, those who are watching online. Thank you for being a part of Wednesday night. Some of you are saying, man, what happened to Pastor Mike? Well, he'll be back, okay? Catch him at the 1st of July, and we will finish out that Foundations course. And what we were hoping was is for those of you who've been in person and haven't missed a week, you'd forget about it, and we wouldn't have to give you a Bible. Come on, come on. No, I'm just kidding you. We're going to be as good as our word. Amen. Thankful to the Lord that he also made a way for us as believers, as Christ followers. Here we go. Not only to be a part of the kingdom. Somebody say, I'm a part. Not only to be a part of the kingdom, but to advance the kingdom of God, to move it forward. What have you done today that has served as a part of moving his kingdom forward? Did you share the gospel? Did you love on somebody? Did you exemplify the character of Christ? Because every time you do that, you move the kingdom of God forward. Amen? And so take every opportunity that you can to do that. Think about it. Not only are you called to be a part, I'm saying it again, but you also are a part of advancing his kingdom. You and I were born, think about it, we were born into this world as sinners who needed a Savior, amen? All of us have a story. Man, if we were to share around the table, or maybe just a few of us, and you ever get to do that, you share your story and then say, well, man, your story sounds similar to mine, but this is what happened to me. All of us have a story. All of us have a kingdom story, a story of coming to faith, a story of coming to a sense of purpose in our life, amen? Coming to a sense of value and understanding as to who we are and what our purpose is on this earth, why we even exist. I love that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's in verse number 9. Just a few months ago, Pastor Mike preached this text on a Sunday morning. In my spirit, I remember that day. I remember those points one by one telling us who we are. Somebody say, who I am. Who I am. Here's who you are. But you are a chosen people. God chose you. You're a chosen people. You have a mark on you. Amen. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You know what that means? That means that you don't have to come to Pastor Wallace's office to get a prayer answered. Amen. Come on. That means that you don't have to go, to Mass. That you don't have to find the priest because he's the one that has the sacerdotal powers. You are, I am, everybody in this room who are Christ followers, we are a royal priesthood of believers. Amen. Everybody's the preacher. Everybody's the Catholic priest. Everybody's the bishop. Come on. Everybody has the role of being a part of a kingdom of priests. Amen. You're a holy nation. Amen. You make up a nation. I don't even want to say how many Cowboy fans. You ever heard somebody say, come on now, Cowboy Nation. Y'all ever heard that? Come on. You have. But yeah, we'll pray for them. Thank you. But what they're saying is that we together, because of the strength of who we are, we make up a nation. It might not be geographic borders involved, but our power, our strength, our involvement, our engagement, are you with me, is making up the reality that we are a nation. And so you're a part of a what kind of nation? A holy nation. And the geographic borders are where? In the entire world. Come on, give the Lord praise tonight. You are a holy nation. A holy nation. God's special possession, he goes on to say. God's special possession. That you may, and here's the purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out. That's where we get our word church from, ecclesia. You're a part of the called out ones, the ecclesia. You're called out of what? Darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. I hope you're taking down. You say, somebody asked me, or is Pastor going to have notes? Now, I'm not spoon-feeding you. No, I'm not giving you an outline, and you just check the box. You get your phone. You got your phone here. I got my phone on clock. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm watching my time. But I'm not going to spoon-feed you, but I am going to encourage you. Take your phone out. Pull up notes if you're an iPhone person. If you're the other organization called Android, you know, I don't know what y'all do on your phones, but we pull up note, okay? You're part of the other nation. But, you know, whether you're iPhone or Android, pull it up whatever way you keep notes and just begin gifts of the Spirit and just keep a running tab of little things that you want to write down or jot down. And this is just the fact that God has told you what you are. You're that royal priesthood, that chosen people, that holy nation, that special possession, prized, one translation says, that you declare the praises of him who called you out, put you in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, called you out of darkness into the glorious, the marvelous light of the gospel, the good news, the evangelion. That's an original word, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a general description. Somebody say general. That's a general description, but there is a specific description about your life, okay? A general description, it's the M.O. of your purpose, the modus operandi. Come on. It's the M.O. of who you are and your purpose. That's what you are. You know, we have to understand what our own life vision is. CSIC, this is a body of believers. The Bible teaches us that we need to understand who we are and the purpose of who we are, and that's what that verse talks about, but take it a step to the church. CSIC, Carpenter Shop International Church, is a multi-ethnic. That means everybody's welcome in the room. Amen? That means everybody's expected to be a part. That means this is a multicultural church, a multi-ethnic church, a multi-generational church. We like people who have red hair, blonde hair, black hair, burgundy hair if you color it, you know. Let me see that hand if you color your hair. We like all kinds of people, and everybody's welcome, even if you have no hair. Come on, somebody say, Corey, come on, anybody. Amen. Amen. You know, Joel, somebody say Joel. Listen, there's a lot of men in here with no hair. Amen. Somebody say Wallace. Not this Wallace. What I have, what hadn't turned gray is beginning to turn loose. I'm going to get there, I guess. But no matter who you are or what you look like, you're a part of this fellowship, this koinonia, this body of believers who share the same mission that we're a part of the royal priesthood. Are y'all getting this tonight? You share that same mission. And these, listen, I'm going to hit you with some very foundational things on teaching. When I teach, I enjoy just staying pretty basic, okay? I'm not here to get so deep you can, what's he talking about? No, no, no. If you don't get this, man, you're way behind, okay? You will get these basic things. So we talked about a general description, and that general description in our mission says that we're this kind of body of believers who have a mission, and that is to love all people, all colors of hair, all colors of skin, all kinds of people, rich, poor, black, white, everything in between. And then our mission is to do what? Win them to Jesus Christ, build them in discipleship. That's what we're doing tonight. We're having a discipleship meeting. Amen? We're having a sit-down, talk about the Bible, discipleship kind of meeting. We're students tonight. That's what a disciple is, a student of the Word. One who, the Word translates this way, one who sits at his feet and learns. Not the pastor's feet, Jesus' feet. That's a disciple, one who is a learner. It's translated a student, a pupil, okay? And then once we do learn something, then we are expected to fulfill our destiny by being sent out into a world. Remember where they were? In darkness, not light. Okay? That's where they were. That's where they are. And you're sent out to them. That's your destiny, to walk out in this world. You go back to work after a church service. You go back to work after a Bible study. Tomorrow morning, you'll punch in and you'll say, oh, Lord, here I go again. No, no, no. Look for excitement for how God is going to use you to bring light to a dark place. Amen? So you have a general description of who you are, but what about a specific description of who you are? I gave you the general, royal priesthood, holy nation. I gave you the general. The specific, there are a host of examples. There are a host of examples of specific descriptions about who you and I are in the body of Christ. I'm just going to use one. One of my favorites, Jeremiah chapter 1, there's verses 4 to 10, will be a specific description for one man. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Let's look at it together. The word of the Lord came to me saying, came to who? Jeremiah. Okay? The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. This is called the law of recurrence. The Lord says it over and over and over again. Not because he forgot he already said it. Because it's a law of recurrence. You'll see this a lot of this in the Old Testament. Repetitive things, okay? Kind of like you teaching to your, talking to your kids. You have to tell them how many times? Several times before they get it, okay? So it's the law of recurrence here. Before I formed you in the womb, before you were born. Means the same thing, but he's saying it multiple times, the law of recurrence. He said, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, the last sovereign Lord. I said, I do not know how to speak. You got this appointment on my life. I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you. Oh, this is getting serious. I'm going to have to be rescued, declares the Lord. Then the Lord, here's an important point, reached out his hand, touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. I want to visit this passage slowly tonight. You say, I thought you were speaking on the gifts of the Spirit. I am. But you need to know who you are before we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we're talking about not your general description, we covered that, but your specific description. And here's that example. You know, you and I have enjoyed 18 weeks of consistent commitments to Jesus Christ in salvation. Somebody was led to Christ here yesterday, right here in the sanctuary. Amen? I said somebody was led to Christ right here in the sanctuary yesterday. It wasn't church day. Amen? Rico led someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay? So consistent commitments. In fact, that's 2 weeks in a row that we had somebody get saved before Sunday. That's really the way it should be, all right? You and I should be constantly, consistently, frequently leading people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then say, hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Okay? We got it backwards. We think that they come here and get saved. No, no, no. We should be leading people. We should, why? Because they're out there in the where? In the darkness. Okay? And then we can help bring them to the light, which is a specific sense of posture where they are in their life. But then we also bring them into the light of the gospel, which is shining in the church. Okay? So we've had this consistent track record of commitments, salvations to Jesus Christ. 51, by the way. 37 water baptisms. Next one's July 30th. 37 water baptisms this year. So what does that mean? It means that you and I now have the responsibility to take those persons who've made a commitment. I sat with somebody just today, just for a few minutes, and they articulated a deep inner work that was going on in their heart. A deep inner work, moved to tears, telling me what God is doing in their life, in their heart, transforming them from where they were to where they are now. That is about the building process. God is doing some building. Then I come in the hallway, later on this evening, come in the hallway, someone else is out there talking about a struggle, a thing that they're going through because God has laid his finger on something, and what is he doing? Transforming. He's transforming. Listen, yeah, you get hit with the Holy Ghost at salvation and pow, something happens, but guess what? All of it don't happen. All of it don't happen at once. You are transformed, but a sanctification process then begins because you have to go through a process of dying how often? Daily. Thank you. You die daily. Because if you don't die daily, you know what's going to happen? Old man's going to resurrect and try to live for a few hours. Okay? So you have to understand that sanctification, that's another whole study, sanctification is a work that is instantaneous in some aspect, but also, here we go, progressive, okay? It is a constant, consistent work that is taking place in your life. Well, Pastor, let me throw out a question for you. When will I get to the place where I won't have to have sanctification in my life? When you're in the box in front of the church and they say, he was a good man. Okay, he was a good man, okay? She was a good girl. I'm going to miss her, okay? Are y'all with me? Until then, guess what? You're going to have to die to flesh. You are. And Christ is going to have to be resurrected in your life every day you live, okay? So you're being built. Say, I'm being built. So it means we're to build them, we're to disciple them, we're to assimilate them down into areas of ministry. More important, areas that God has already, here we go, uniquely gifted them in. We're talking about spiritual gifts. Every one of you sitting in this room tonight, God has placed inside of you unique giftings. Okay? Every one of you. There are giftings that are inside of your life that you, have you ever heard somebody say, man, I'm going to tell you what, that dude, but he's born with a basketball in his hand. You ever heard anybody say that? Man, he's going to shoot and it's going in. Okay? There are some people that were not born with a basketball and can't even hit the backboard, much less the hoop. But can they cultivate the talent, a skill of making the shot and making it count? Can they do that? Yes. God has given you the ability. You may not be born with it, but you can cultivate. You say, man, I tell you what, that girl can sing, buddy. She's not pitchy. She hits every note. You love the way she sings. And then you got somebody with a microphone in their hand and say, man, why is he on the worship team? Well, you say, well, he sounds like he missed a few notes to me. Listen to it. But can they learn to sing? Yes. It might take some longer than others, but you can cultivate a skill. You can cultivate, and God will help you. And then there's some of those cases where just find you something else to do. Some of y'all missed that. Just find you something else to do. God ain't called you to sing, okay? All right? Why y'all laughing? Everybody can sing in the shower, right? You really thought you sound good, didn't you? Come on. Come on, you did. You even took a video and started to post it on Facebook because you thought you were good. Don't post it. Don't. Okay? So here's what the text says. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, you know what that tells me right there? God speaks to me. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, God will speak to you. It simply says, God speaks. God uniquely speaks to us, to our hearts, giving directions. Here we go, giving specifics, okay? I know I'm called for this mission of winning the lost to Christ and being a part of the vision of my church. But what do I do specifically, Pastor? I'm available. What do I do specifically? Well, what are you gifted to do? That's what the pastor's going to ask you. What are the things you love to do? Has anybody ever asked you that when you talked about getting involved? Well, what do you like to do? Anybody? Come on. Why do you think the pastor or one of the church leaders ask you that? Because here we go. Write this down. Half of calling is desire. Okay? If you study the New Testament, you'll discover that Paul said, he that desires the office of a bishop desires a what? A noble task. So half of calling is desire. If you can't be happy doing nothing else but the work of the kingdom, God has a what on your life? A calling. Okay? You're not happy unless you're doing something to do with the gospel. Then more than likely, God is speaking to you saying, hey, I've uniquely called you for the work of the ministry. And God gives you directions and God gives you specifics. Look at verse number 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God is doing something here in the life of Jeremiah. He is solidifying the life call upon Jeremiah. He's given him specifics. This man was born 650 years before Christ, okay? He was a Hebrew man. He was a prophet. He was a reformer. He was selected by God to have his writing make the book. What are you talking about? He made the Old Testament canon of Scripture. Canon just simply means a measured collection. He made the books, okay? He made his book, his writing made the books, the book of Jeremiah. All of this, the Bible says, was already decided. Oh, this is going to shake you up. Before he was even born. Isn't that what the scripture says? Before I formed you. Before I formed you, I ordained that you be a Jeremiah. Before I formed you, I ordained that you would deal with people in a challenging time in their life because, oh, we love to quote those Jeremiah passages like 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future. You know, we quote that and we speak it to ourselves. But do you ever stop and think why Jeremiah even said it? Because he was dealing with the people that were what? They were captive in a strange land. And he was going to them saying, listen, the Lord says unto you, I've got my hand on you. I know you feel like you're in trouble. The men are emasculated. You are trapped. But I'm telling you, I've got plans for you. And it's not to harm you and keep you bound. I've got plans to give you a hope and a future. So Jeremiah had this divine call on his life. He had this divine assignment on his life to go to a people who had been scattered, carted away some 500 miles from their homeland. And he says to them, listen, God has plans for you, man. I know you feel like you're messed up right now. You're in a land with strange people. You don't get it. But I've got my hands on you. Okay? And that was his message to them. And God determined that Jeremiah would do this before he was born. Wow. Before he was born. His task was difficult. That's why some people say he was the weeping prophet. Because God gives him his job description. You're going to tear down. You're going to destroy. Come on, Lord. Can I have a better ministry than that? People are not going to like you. Okay? They're going to reject you. Look at verse 6. And he tries to convince himself. He tries to convince himself that he's not a candidate for what God has said his life was set apart for. Alas, sovereign Lord. I said, man, I'm going to know how to speak. I'm too young, okay? You ever seen a young person didn't know how to run their mouth? Lord, I can't do this. I'm not skilled. I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. I'm too young. Look at how this model prophet, the one set apart, the one chosen, responded. I can't do it, okay? That's what some of you are saying. I don't know the Bible. You said, Pastor, you're just sitting here tonight telling me that God has spiritually gifted me. You said everybody in this room. That's the truth. But you are convincing yourself that you're not a good candidate. How many of you feel like, man, if you had to come and take my place, hey, could you take my place for here just a minute? I got to go to the restroom. Then you say, man, oh, my God, don't call on me. How many of you would hate to be sitting where I am right now? Come on, just be honest. Okay? Why? Because I can't speak. How many of you say, I'm not good at public speaking? Okay? Did you know that it's one of the top 10 fears of the world is public speaking? I can't speak. I don't know the Bible. I get nervous in front of people. I don't have a good voice. I don't know how to run that kind of equipment. Somebody's asked you to serve on the back line. Well, I'm not good at running equipment like that. But yet you sit in your house and play video games and stay on a computer all the time. Okay? I'd love to help you, Pastor, but I work weekends. People always have excuses, but listen to the Lord's words. Look at verse 7, the next one. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. Do not say I can't speak. You must go. This is a mandate. I decided it before you were born. This is a mandate. You need to go to everyone I send you to, and you say whatever I command you to say. The Lord is reminding Jeremiah of the same thing that you and I need to be reminded of, is that our life has purpose. Our life has value. Sunday, I reminded you in Sunday's message, I believe I put a definition into Sunday's message on the life of Abraham of what calling is. Here's what I said it was. A divinely ordained reason for being. That's a calling. That God has for every believer, and it has a twofold aspect to it. So that you can be blessed, but also that you can be a blessing. In other words, it has purpose to it. My life has value and purpose because God wants me blessed and God wants me to be a blessing. Okay? I listened to someone's Facebook post this past week and I just started smiling. I said, listen to that. You know what they were doing? They were sitting in this service on Sunday and then preaching my message on Facebook in the afternoon. Good day, guys. Let me just share this word with you. And I thought, you go on, girl. You go on. Go on, girl. I see you on the second row in the middle with the red shirt on, smiling. And you know what I say to you? Thank you very much. Give her a hand, y'all. I'm going across Facebook, and I said, well, let me see what she's got to say. And she's sitting there giving my message to the world. Okay? That's wonderful. Okay? Because she received something, and then she turned around and released it out. So I hit my little like button down here at the bottom. Okay? Go on with your bad self is what I should have put down here at the bottom. Okay? Listen, if you feel like, hey, I don't know quite what to say, but Pastor said this, so I'm going to say it. Or I heard Pastor Mike say this in the Bible study, so I'm going to put that on. Go for it. Nothing's original. Nothing's original. You're not going to bother me if you borrow something that I say and make it your own. Okay? Nothing's original. And so you and I have this divine call upon our lives. We're trying our best to make it as hard to get to hell from a husky as it possibly can be. I don't think y'all heard me. I said, I think you and I are called to make it as hard as possible to get to hell from a husky. We are called to depopulate hell. We are called to keep people out of hell, share the good news of Jesus Christ, commit our whole being to the task of depopulating hell and doing what? Advancing the kingdom of God. So stop with the excuses. I can't talk. I'm not good at it. Just be you. When I first responded to the call of ministry, I fell flat on my face in failure. I lived on, I had moved and taken a church over in Conway. I lived in a 14 by 70 mobile home right there on the property. And I would get up on Sunday morning and I would listen to Jimmy Swaggart preach. And about 2 hours later, I would try to go into the church and be the best version of Jimmy Swaggart that I could possibly be. And it was an absolute failure. Until I learned that when God called me, it had nothing to do with Jimmy Swaggart. Who was he calling? Me, okay? Who did he want to use? Me. Whose gifts would I be operating in? Mine. Are y'all hearing me? We're talking about spiritual gifts. And I just said to you 10 minutes ago, every person in this room possesses spiritual gifts that God, because he formed you, did the same thing to you that he did to Jeremiah. All right? This is the Bible. The Bible is telling you the truth here. Okay? And so you don't have to be afraid. Look at what he says. Stop with the excuses. Verse number 8. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. Wow, that's strong. You mean I'm going to get myself into positions, circumstances? I'm going to run into certain scenarios where I might need to be rescued? Yes. Yes, you might. I shared a story with somebody just a few days ago of how when I was in Ghana, West Africa, I got attacked in my bedroom by a demon that came boldly in my bedroom and put hands around my neck and began to choke me to death. And thank God for WhatsApp. Those of you who travel the world know that you can use WhatsApp to communicate just like if you were home. And in WhatsApp, in just a moment, my telephone rang, and it was Pastor Joy on the other end. She said, "Honey, are you okay?" And I just busted out squalling and bawling, crying. She said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I just knew I needed to call you. What's going on?" And it took me several minutes to get myself together, and I was weeping and crying and squalling because I said, "Honey, I've never had this to happen to me before," but I said, "A demon came into my bedroom." And I looked at my bed. It was twisted off of the frame. The bed was turned around sideways. The room was a wreck, and I had an encounter with an agent of the devil. A demon came into my room and tried to kill me. And the only two syllables I could get out of my mouth were J-E and S-U-S, Jesus. And as soon as I said Jesus, every power in that room broke, and I was a free man. But I'm convinced that that would have never happened unless my wife had not heard from the Holy Spirit and begin to call my name in prayer, and at that moment, angels were dispatched to my rescue. Come on, give the Lord praise. Angels were dispatched to my rescue. So yes, you will find yourself in circumstances that you will need divine intervention, okay? Sit with Pastor Mike sometime and let him tell you some war stories about how things look mighty bleak, okay? But God sent provision in every way. God sent protection. God sent the banner of righteousness before them so that they could move forward and be successful in the mission God had assigned to their hands. Okay? So, yeah, you need to be rescued sometime. So does the Lord let you in on the details? Will there be risky moments and risky seasons? Will there be times where rescue might be a part of it? Yeah, there could be. You know, there could be. But that's not a reason for you to say, I can't do this. Because, listen, if God be for you, come on, who can be against you? Okay? If God be for you, who can be against you? Paul talked about challenge in his life call and purpose as well. Look at 2 Corinthians. He said, listen, don't go boasting about what you've been through. Don't be telling me you had a hard time. Look at this passage here, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. Are they servants of Christ, Paul says? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I'm more. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death. He's preaching the gospel. I've been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Why is that? Because the Jews believed that if they hit a man 40 times with a cat of nine tails, he was dead. So let's take him to 39. Okay? Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I've been shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold. I have been naked. And besides everything else, I had to pastor a church. Okay, I got the care of all the churches on me. Paul's been through it, man. He says, verse 29, who's weak and I don't feel weak? Who's been led into sin and I don't inwardly burn? You don't think I have to battle with the flesh? Listen, ministry is not signing up for tiptoe through the tulips. Because you know what we're doing when we're trying to minister? The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness is trying its best to destroy you. The kingdom of darkness is trying its best to convince you your life was not transformed. You are no better than you were. You still sin. Look at you. Look at your thoughts. Look at the things you think about. Look at what the TV you're watching on the TV. The enemy's job is to make you feel devalued. But can I just tell you something? It is finished, okay? The work on the cross is finished. And Jesus Christ forgave you. He forgives you. Everything you will ever do wrong, he's already forgiven you. That's why he says in the Bible that when we do sin, what do we have? An advocate with the Father. We've been over this two or three times. I said to you, listen, don't now take grace and make it a license for you to just do something wrong because, well, pastor said he loved me anyway. He does, but he doesn't want you to cheapen his grace. And so we have to also understand that he doesn't want to hear our excuses about why we don't want to go forward in advancing the kingdom because, you know, it's a lot of pressure. Paul said, man, you ain't had no pressure. And that's why he gives us this list. So we need to stop with the excuses. Listen, you got jerked out of your destiny to hell because of your sin, and God wants you to be excited about working on the winning team for a change, okay? Get excited about going to heaven and take all the people that you can with you. He's so excited that he has endowed you. Hear me now. He's so excited that he has endowed you with certain spiritual gifts. You know, before I got up here tonight, it was the preparation was made for me. A worship team who can all sing led us in a couple of courses and pulled us into the place of relax and peace and blessing and the joy of the Lord after a long day's work. Oh, it's so good to be in the presence of God. Lord, thank you for my church. Thank you for my worship team. Thank you, God, for my job. I'm so glad it's over today. You know, thank you that I can come in here tonight and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And they did that, why? Because they have been endowed with certain what? Gifts. You have music. Not everybody can do music. Okay? But they have spiritual gifts. They have gifts that God has given. And God has a wonderful way of saying, listen, I've got your back. I've got you covered. look what he did for Jeremiah. He loved him so much, he endowed him with gifts and made an assignment destined for Jeremiah. And then in verse 9, he says, listen, let me take care of this man. And the Lord says he reached out his hand and touched my mouth. You know what Jeremiah's excuse was? I can't speak. Lord said, let me take care of that. Then he reached out and touched my mouth and said to me, hey, I have put my words. So you can't speak, huh? So I have put my words in your mouth. Okay? So now you don't have an excuse. God will put his words in your mouth. When you get ready to witness to somebody, when you get to tell them, hey, I want to tell you what Christ has done for me. You don't even know what you're going to say. The Lord will quicken you by the Spirit and give you the words to say. It's his touch on my preaching, not me. It's his touch on your music. Not Rico's, okay? It's God's touch upon Rico, okay? It's God's touch upon every worship singer. It's God's touch upon every musician. It's God's touch upon the skill set of people who are running that back line back there on Sunday mornings. It's God's touch upon those who have the patience and the love and the vision to work with kids. It's God's touch. God will touch us and place those wow gifts in our lives of being able to do things for his kingdom. Man, I couldn't stay with kids. I just couldn't work with kids. I couldn't. You know? It takes a lot of patience to work with kids. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And God gives you the ability and the touch to do it because that's the kind of assignment he has on your life. And his assignment on your life is greater than the context that you think it is. Look at verse 10. See today. I said it's greater. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Hang with me. I said God's assignment on your life is greater than the context you think it is. Oh, here, yeah, I'm stuck here at the church. I'm in the nursery again. Can you see somebody back there in the nursery? What are you doing? I'm in the nursery. No. You get to serve in the nursery. You get to serve a small child and surround them with peace and love. How about if you're dealing with a child that's going to go home tonight and they're not going to feel peace and love because there's so much contention in the home? Come on. I get to keep the children. So he says in verse 10, look at the context here. So today, Jeremiah, I appoint you over what? Nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What an amazing responsibility Jeremiah was given to lead a people in the battle of encouragement, to lead a people who were captive out of captivity, to lead a people that were in bondage to in a strange land, to lead them and to bring that encouraging word that I do have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Sometimes ministry can be tough. Listen, if you're in ministry, no matter what you're doing, you are the target of criticism. There's not a week of my life that goes by that I don't get criticized by somebody. Somebody will text me some message. Hey, I just wanted to ask you this. Okay, ask me. And then there'll be an exchange. Not a week of my life. I've got a file in my office with hate mail in it. Over the years, I've got a file in my office with threats in there. Over the years, I've got nasty phone calls. I've got some that were so bad on the voicemail thing that I got a recorder and recorded the message in case I ever need this again to defend myself. Ministry can be ugly. It can be hard. It can be frustrating. You're the target of criticism, critique, condemnation, and I will have all kinds of stones cast at you. Pastor, slow down. You're making me not want to volunteer anymore. You're making me not want to go into the ministry. No, you need to go forward in what God's called you to do because his hand is on your life and that's his plan. His plan. You are called out of darkness into the light. And listen, the reason you get attacked in certain ways in ministry is because the enemy, hear me, if you don't hear anything I've said tonight, please hear this. The enemy has always opposed the work of God. Always. The thief, Jesus said, does what? Comes only, his only MO is to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to do that to your life. He wants to do that to this church. He wants to do that to whatever movement you're a part of. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, guess what? I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The enemy has always opposed the work of the Lord. And the enemy sometimes will be someone, I hate to tell you, but the enemy will sometimes be the one who's supposed to be on the same team as you are. As I look back over my life in ministry of over 40 years, the majority of my spiritual attacks, Joel, have come from other Christians on the inside. Not from some red being with a little fork in his hand running around like a little animal, calling the devil. No. The majority of my attacks have come from within, from people who also claim to be Christians. So sad. I just told you, hate mail, bad messages on the phone. It shouldn't be that way. I disagree with you. So what? So what if you disagree? Does that mean you don't love me anymore? Does that mean you're against me? No, it means we have an enemy who would love to conquer and divide. We have an enemy who would love to conquer and divide. And you know what he would love to do? He would love to convince you that are sitting in this room for the next few weeks that you don't have any spiritual gifts. When we finish up here, there are going to be some of you that are going to prophetically speak a word over somebody else for the very first time in your life, because there is a prophetic gift on the inside of your body and the inside of your spirit. There are going to be people who are going to lay hands on someone and God's going to supernaturally heal them because you are walking in a gift of healing that you didn't even know. Because there are gifts in this room. And the enemy opposes you. And the enemy sometimes will be that one person, that two people, that three people that will speak against you or send you an ugly message and try to get you off track. That's why you need spiritual equipment. That's why you need discernment. You know what? I've been through seasons in my life where maybe Pastor Joy and I just had words or just argumentative, and then I'm off to myself, you know, on the side, and the Lord would speak to me and say, "Don't you know this is just the devil? Go back over there and tell her you're sorry. And just tell her, listen, this is not good, sweetheart. I said some things I wish I had not have said. And this is just the enemy trying to get in and bring division between you and I." And I'll say something like, "I just want to tell you I'm sorry." And she'll look at me and she'll say, "You should be." Amen. You know? Come on, give the Lord praise. You know? No. But the enemy would love to get in the mix. He does. But you listen, you need spiritual gifting. You need discernment to know that this is not, it's really not about, you know, how much money I spend or you spend, or really not about, you know, what you fixed for supper or didn't fix for supper. It's really about the enemy trying to get in and divide and conquer. We need spiritual gifts. That's where we're going in the weeks ahead. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you tonight, God, with a great sense of gratitude in our hearts. That, God, that you have an assignment on my life. Come on, say that with me. That you, Lord, have an assignment on my life. Come on, say it one more time. That you, Lord, have an assignment on my life. And, God, that you've given me gifts. You've given me gifts. And I look forward, Lord, to seeing the manifestation of those gifts in my life in a stronger way than I've ever experienced it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, praise the Lord with me tonight, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you need special prayer tonight, please make your way to the altar. Someone will pray with you. If you need prayer for healing or you just need encouragement tonight or whatever, just come make your way. If you need special prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. Be glad, so glad to pray with you and encourage you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you guys online for watching tonight. Listen, we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock right here at Carpenter Shop International Church. We'd be delighted to have you. 903 South Catherine Creek Road in Ahoskie. Or join us here on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, time of worship and the Word. God bless you. Do me a favor, would you? Share the broadcast. Come on, down there at the bottom of your screen, it says share. Go ahead and hit share right now, and let's spread the word together. God love you. We love you.